Revelation chapter 1 verse 3, let's just read. The Bible said, blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. The Bible said the time is near. Every time you read the word of God, you are blessed. When you hear the word of God, you are blessed, but you are most blessed when you keep the words of the book. When you do the word of the Lord, you are most blessed. So I want you to pray for yourself that as the word of God comes, Lord, let it come to bless me. I give attention to the word of God. The Bible says, give attention to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. Lord, I give attention to the word of God. I refuse distraction. The distraction of the mind, the distraction of phones, the distractions of men, the distractions of spirit. I refuse every distraction. I keep my eyes on you, Lord. I keep my eyes on the Lord fixedly, expectantly, with a steady and absorbing gaze. I keep my eyes. The Bible says, if thy eyes be single, your whole body will be full of light. If thy eyes be, keep my eyes single. Lord, keep my heart in you, Lord. Refresh my spirit as the word of God comes. As the word of God comes. Now, I want you to call to speak that God would open pastor's mouth and fill it and call him blessed. Because he said, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. He comes in the name of the Lord. Call him blessed. Say, I call him blessed. He is blessed. Bless your pastor. Bless him. Say, Lord, he is blessed. He's strengthened by grace. He's kept, he's preserved, and he has a word for me. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. For in Jesus' powerful name we have prayed.
The Lord is good. The Lord is good. Welcome once again to the School of Prayer. We have been praying for the last 30, 35 minutes, and we are going to continue to pray after we've given some instructions in the Word of God. And as usual, before we give the instructions, we take our declaration of understanding, and if you know it by heart, can you join me and declare? Now I declare, want to let's go.
The Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, and I am being filled with the knowledge of his will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I am walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing him in all respects. I am bearing fruit in every good work, and I am increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again I incline my ears to his word. Word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area. And it is making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, let's take our seats. The Lord is good. All right, the Lord is good. The intercessory duties of a believer. That is what we have been looking at for some time. And I want to continue looking at it. One scripture we quote here so many times, very, very often, is from Luke chapter 16, verse 1, when he said, he told them a parable, saying that what? Men ought always to pray and not to faint. They must not get tired of praying. It's an assignment that we have, and we are going to be judged for how we fulfill the assignments of God in our lives, all right? Now, let's start today by reading from the book of Luke again. Luke chapter 16. The book of Luke chapter 16. It was saying to the disciples, all right, from verse 1, he said, there was a rich man who had a manager, and this manager was reported to him as squandering his possessions. So he decided to take action. And then the manager went ahead to take his own counter action, using the debts owed to his master, forgiving much of it, and so as to grant favor, to get favor with people who were owing his master. For example, he said to the one that was owing 100 measures of oil in verse 6, take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. And he said to another one, how much are you owing? That one said 100 measures of wheat. He said, take your bill and write 80. Now we analyze verse 8, where the master praised the unrighteous manager because he had acted shrewdly. And please allow me a moment again to say something about this. His master praised the unrighteous manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the sons of this age are more shrewd in relation to their own kind than the sons of light. That is what the Lord was saying, is that what was it that he praised? The dedication the sinner gave to sinning. Can I use that expression? That's the only way of making it in life. He faced it. You'll be surprised that many of us are angry with some politicians who steal money. And God said, this guy is diligent. Did you hear what I said? The diligent thief. Yeah, he would have been a careless person if he didn't do what he was doing, because he has no other way to plan for his future and that of his children. So God said, at least he's thinking of something. He said, is that what I'm recommending to you? No. He said, what I'm saying is that when I give you two instructions, follow it with your whole heart. Be diligent in following it. Do you get my point? That when you see the way the unbeliever follows planning for his future, they say anytime you earn money, take 10% and set it aside. And anything he earns, that 10% must be set aside. So invest it in, what did they tell you to invest it in? Say real estate, stocks, if it's American, say blue chip companies. These days, he said, put small in cryptocurrency. A friend of mine, we used to post the price of Shiba Inu. I don't know. You know what Shiba Inu? It's one of these funny, what they call them meme coins, crypto. So one day I asked him, I said, what is your own with Shiba Inu? He said, think about it. I invested $50. He said, if one crypto becomes $1, I've made $1 million. Because one Shiba Inu is like $0.00001. I'm serious. So one day he just took $50 and put it inside. And I was watching it, whether it will go up. Don't worry, my friend is a comedian. He's a clown. So wake up in the morning and check the price of one dog meme. That's exactly what it is. So they say invest in cryptocurrency. And this guy does it regularly. 20 years he's been working. There's no month that he earns his salary. 10% don't go to the future of his children. And his, you know, his, what they call that thing. Anyway, his safety net. Jesus said he's a diligent person. And that's one problem many times. I've said it again and again here. Know when they are talking to you and when they are not talking to you. There are things that are not made for those who have a heavenly father. You know, my wife and I traveled a few days ago. So as we're driving through the capital city, so I just saw one very nice, beautiful, big building. I turned to my wife. I said, it would be nice to own that. Now, when I say build, I don't mean house. I mean skyscraper kind of thing. Very nice. Just under construction. I said, wow, this is beautiful. Be nice to own. Then I started laughing. She said, why am I laughing? I said, if I own this, and I now see in my heart that my children's future is secure, I said, God will burn it down. Nothing wrong with owning it. Nothing wrong with having such a beautiful thing in your portfolio. But for one moment you look at it and say, yes, I have made it. I know me. I know God. I know our relationship. You just wake up one morning, it has burnt down. 2 weeks after they forgot to renew the premium of insurance. Do you hear what I said? Which means insurance company is not compensating you. And as it's burning down, you are sitting down there. One angel will stand beside you and say, move back. Don't dare the fire. I look at the angel, excuse me, it's my building. So they say we should burn it down. So am I your father? No, I'm his messenger. Bear it in mind when they are talking to you and when they are not talking to you. Many of us have built the future for ourselves the way of the shrewd servant. And God said, this guy is he has followed this thing very well, except that it's one of my children. 1 month before it matures, after 20 years of hard labor, I tell one angel, blow, help me blow upon it. They turn to zero. Please don't ever forget when they are talking to you and when they are not talking to you. Learn to distinguish between the two. It doesn't mean that those who are talking are talking nonsense. They're just not talking to you. Do you follow my point? The two people are discussing how to tune an engine and you're an architect. Are they talking to you? Go there, go and collect your stencil and ruler and compass and be drawing things. I have a classmate who likes to comment on Christianity and Judaism. Last week, I told him, why don't you just mind yourself, mind your lane? We are not talking to you. You don't believe in our God. You don't believe in the God of Abraham. You don't believe in Jesus Christ. Then why should you be analyzing what you don't know? Because without faith, you will never gain understanding. So leave the matter. Learn it as a child of God when they are talking to you and when life is not talking to you. When they are trying to scare you and say, hey, what's going to happen to you in the future? They are not talking to you. They are talking to those who don't have your God. Do you follow? When they get the high, how to plan for 20 years' time. Say, if Jesus finds me there, if he finds me there, I will get into trouble. He specifically forbids that you join that WhatsApp group. That Telegram channel, I must never subscribe to it. What is the how to plan for 20 years ahead? He said, if I find you there. So that's how you Christians do. I said, at least now you know. So we are not surprising you again. We are careless. We know. We like it like that. The person who sent us, he said, you are going to go out. Make sure you take no purse or script using King James. I wonder what that script means. He said, don't take any extra resources. Don't greet anybody on the way. Bishop Oyedepo used to interpret that for us to mean, don't lobby. Don't explain that, you see, there are things we are doing in the ministry. We are trying to see how you can come in. He said, don't do that. And then they went out. Then when they came back, he said, when I sent you out without any extra supply, did you lack anything? They said, nothing. The Lord is not afraid of telling you to enter a future that was not planned for by you. No, he's not afraid of it. Don't ever feel disadvantaged. You know, there are people who see that you work in an office. Your friend tells you, one of our brothers told me that, a friend of his told him he had $1 million. You know, saving, investment and everything. The same level. You know, you and somebody work in an office. They pay you well. They take good care of you guys. Then you have been spending money. Then one day the guy shows his portfolio and it's worth $1 million. You know, you look at the guy and say, you. Yes, from this country. Yes, from Nigeria here. I learned how to hoard. Use the right words. I denied myself, denied people, denied everybody. I hoarded well. And I said to my soul, soul, rest. You have much dollars laid up for the future. Listen, let me tell you something. Please, I'll get to my message in a moment. But I've entered the zone. I've entered the zone. Every time in life, God is testing you. Pope, the Lord is testing you every time. How you react to that affront is a test. If you sit back in the office and say, so we did the same office, this same amount of money. This guy has amassed $1 million. You go to church on Sunday. Pastor says, the next crusade that's coming up. Who is the vex? It's how you've been giving for crusade for the last 5 years. That's how come you don't have $1 million. Little by little, you are losing your reward. It's a test. You start getting angry. It's literally a test. If your friend, meanwhile, you're the one that you understand more finance than that guy. He has $1 million, you don't have anything. Tell yourself, I have saved my $1 million with the Lord. See, God is testing you to see what you will say. Be careful how you react to situations. The Lord is testing you to see what you will say. He's testing. He wants to know, will you regret your actions of the last 5 years? You've kept yourself in the hands of the Lord. You now saw somebody who kept himself in the hands of money. And you're not envying him. You are backsliding. You see what I said? It's a case of backsliding. I've been saying it, please, don't ever give God conditions when you're obeying. Don't have expectations he did not expressly promise. You say, I know my friends have gone abroad. I stayed in Nigeria. God will remember me and do. See, they will come one day, they will build a house you did not build. Don't. What am I saying? Don't. Please finish it for me now. Don't. You know what I'm saying? Let's leave it like that. Don't validate your decision by how much progress you have made in comparing yourself with somebody else on the same parameters. I don't know whether I get my point. No, it's not allowed. If it pleases the Lord, that's fine now. Is the Lord pleased? Yes. Close that chapter. Please. Jesus said, the people of this world, you give them principles. They follow it aggressively. I give my children their own principles. They go, they slack. Let's talk about health matters for a moment. That's why I quarrel with a lot of people. Because they know my natural training. There are no things I know. I say, but either I'm a Christian or I am not. You won't send me to College of Medicine to remove my Christianity. Do you get my point?
Yes.
I get a bachelor's in medicine, bachelor's in surgery. Then one day you give me a PhD or a fellowship. You say, call me a specialist. Then suddenly I don't believe again. Is that not the curse? My knowledge of medical things helped me to understand the power of God. No, I should go to this. Please, I'll get back to my message in a moment. But I should go to this. Yeah, because it encouraged my wife and I. We're together. You know, we traveled on Sunday, right? So there was an issue. I had to wait for somebody who went to church. He said, when he's out of church, he'll call me. Okay? So as soon as we arrived at the airport, we sat down. So one guy just came and tapped me. Hey, I looked at him. I said, look at this last sacrifice survivor. You know, it was on the same plane. I didn't know. One of our brothers in Enugu here. I called, you remember him? I said, Lassa fever survival, how are you? He laughed. Then one of our colleagues again came and sat down. And she was interested in that Lassa fever. So I turned to her, I said, no, he really survived Lassa fever. He's a doctor, he's a specialty doctor now. I said, he really survived Lassa fever. So the guy came closer and started telling the story. My wife was so encouraged. That lady we're talking with was so encouraged. I was so encouraged. He sat down and gave us, he said, if we talk about argument on divine healing, he said, what do you want to tell me? He said, I personally went through it. He said, he had gotten kind of frustrated, you know, they are treating you, you know, they are not making any progress and they are wounding you. Did you get what I said?
Yes.
Doctor comes to treat you, say, okay, you need this injection. That place started paining you for 2 days. You look at him and say, oh boy, come. Before you came, I was sick. Now I'm still sick and I have pain. He said, don't worry, it's the treatment. He said, but that place is not working. Let's treat you another place. He said, after that time, he gave up. He was just tired. Died. Okay, if it is die, maybe if I die, I will have peace. He lost the will. He was too sick. Then, those days were in Cosmo FM. Then somebody put on the radio, or maybe it's his own radio, and Way of Sexus came on air. He said, after 30 minutes of hearing the word of God, the will, the strength, came back. Then you remember that I have messages now. He told somebody, he told the person where to go on this, copied materials for him, and he started listening to messages day and night, day and night. By that time, he has bled into his skin. Skin had peeled, sores everywhere, ulcers here and there. Let's make a long story short. Said, nurse came to dress his wounds a few days after. And so he turned his back. You know, she turned him to dress the wound on his back. He was lying down. Most of the time, he's lying down. And she screamed. And I was like, what? That the wound has healed. He too was surprised. So he asked for either a phone or mirror. They checked. He too screamed. Then they peeled all the other dressings and they all healed. You go and tell that kind of person that how to prolong your life is to be running up and down around the Pirate Square. You know, you'll be looking at you that you were not there when I was dying. That you were not there when I was dying. I know what the word of God did for me. See, why people sometimes, you know, they don't understand what I'm saying. They say, no, I'm not telling people not to drink agbo. You want to drink agbo? No, you can drink anything you want. It's your life. It's your kidney. It's not my kidney. Mine are here. Yours are with you. If you like, donate them for spiritual suya. I don't know that. What I'm just saying to you, that if you're a believer, see, God has something for you. It's called the children's bread. Healing belongs to the children. Before you start running up and down, pray first. That's what I say. And that no matter how much you exercise, you jog, you know, remember, one of our friends talking to us a few days ago. But that's from here I heard that story. Say, one guy wanted to drag him to go and work in another part of the United States. But that I was the one that convinced him not to go. I remember the conversation. He said, good enough, I listened to you. He said, because that fellow, 10 years later, he died. Also a doctor. I said, what happened? He said, he's the one that said, finish exercising. Very fit fellow. Finish exercising. walked to his car. I thought it was on the sidewalk. Where it was the car park. Walked to his car, sat on the steering, put his head down and died. Are you getting my point? See, nothing is keeping you alive. Listen, God, the day Aaron died, was the day they removed his garment. You get my point? So ask yourself, what garment am I supposed to be wearing? Don't let fear, pressure, you know, fear of tomorrow, economic circumstances make you pull off your garment. If you are not wearing your garment, you drop. Do you get my point? That's what I tell people. And that's what Jesus is telling us here. Please, don't forget what he said. He wasn't saying that, please, use money to corrupt everywhere, to preserve a future for yourself. He said, no. The way the people of this world pay attention to what they know. When you find your friend that's kept 10 aside every month for 10 years, and he has a very nice egg nest, like what they call it? Egg nest, nest of eggs, egg fowl nest, you know? It's kept solid things aside. You two look at this, 10%, this guy did this. What is my own? 10% of time praying. I won't say 10% of money giving now, because nobody says, Pastor, I should go and die. I'll just get an illustration, all right? Be a giver, be aggressive. And I'm going to come back to that now, all right? Like we said last time, good. Jesus said, what are your own principles? Let's go over them again. What are they? Three of them. He that is faithful in little will be faithful in much. So what's the first rule? Be faithful in little. Don't waste your resources, no matter how small it is. Don't waste. Know how to use small things. Know how to watch over little things and be faithful with them. You have only one shirt. It's not why it should always be dirty. So but your shirt is always dirty. Do you know how many shirts I have? Not only one I get to. Because they are not faithful. It's only a shirt. But wash it. Every night. When I was in secondary school, we washed clothes at night. Two of us would put inside a towel and turn it, twist it. The towel will soak everything. Then we fold it under the mattress. Lie on it. By morning, it's straight. So you can do it with wash. Look, there are some skills this generation they've lost. Because buying many shirts is now a simple thing. You have power. This was boarding house, man. You're going to see power to iron what? Tomorrow in school, what are you going to do? You look at your uniform. You didn't wash it over the weekend. That night, you guys will wash it, squeeze it dry, and iron it without an iron. Iron deficiency could not give us anemia. Those who know what I'm saying, they know what I'm saying. What am I trying to explain? Faithfulness in what? Little. You don't despise the little. You don't say, what is this among so many? Where was I teaching recently? Where I talked about wilderness. That some people are carrying, life has seasons. They are currently in the wilderness season. And they are saving money for promised land. What was I teaching that? Eh? Was here? Yeah. You can hardly pay rent. They are telling you to save for a foundation. Are you mad? Pay your landlord his rent. Simple. They are selling land somewhere. And you want to buy. You have not paid rent. No, now don't do that. Don't do that. Make paying the man priority. This landlord, these days, they built a house, you are living in it. What's your problem? Paying the man must be priority. There are some wicked people, they will be finishing their own house. They are not paying the landlord. They are living in his house. And they want their own house to be good. You don't know, God is looking at you. Be very careful when you are taking from the wilderness to prepare for the promised land. You are going to the promised land, you tell your children, how much man are they there? Put small aside. You have to eat. Because, see, fact. A time will God it will come. God will bless you so much, you will even be angry. Look, why was I even giving myself a headache? What you save for 2 years, God will give you one evening. One evening. So what will be paining you? Instead of you rejoicing, you're angry that you suffered for 2 years. You just be angry. And the Lord will be doing it on. Did I not warn you? You should have enjoyed yourself when you could. You should have eaten well. Be faithful with little. You know, sometimes when I see students wanting something, I say, what is wrong? A student should do, there are some things that a student should not want. I'm not talking about you shouldn't have. Did I say that? That you should not even want it. You are going to school, boarding, hostel, university, with, not even in one room. Then they now said, your uncle now decided you're a good student, a good boy. He now buys an S25 Ultra, and you took it to school. You should go to church. Abraham, drop your offering basket and go away. You know, that way, there's peace of mind for everybody. That way now, you don't have to be praying about it not breaking. Yeah, because, there are phones that break. Phone broke. You are speaking other tongues. When you see things like that, I say, I don't want. My uncle said, so I'm going, okay, I don't have to use it. We can sell it and, what my friend they say? Don't want, there are things they will give, don't even want. Say, yeah, I don't want. Take now, I don't want. I don't want eyes on me. Find me something that's like 1/4, 1/5, 1/10 that price. I know what they can do in my life. They give you the two. They offer it to you as a young one. Take the cheaper one. Say, well, this is a good one. This is the trouble. This is one that gives a headache. This one that when you are charging it in class, you can't pay attention to the lecture. many times in class, you don't have power in the hostel. You come to class, the school provided power for your lectures, so everybody has lined up to charge their own phone. You can't charge your own. Charge what? Charge what? Let it die. You just put it like that. There are things you not want at certain times. Unfortunately, it's those small boys that want it the most. They are the ones. Let's get back to it. Number one, be faithful in what? Little. Number two, be faithful with money. That one's very important. Go and learn to be accountable. Now, remember we are saying be aggressive with these things. Make it like, my God, I have to do it. Be faithful concerning money. Be very, very accountable. Go the extra mile to be accountable when it comes to money. If you buy something, pay. If you don't think you can pay, don't buy. If you borrow money, pay back. If they give you money, you're in an office, do this. Do it to the last kobo. You have to understand that it's your life that's on trial. It's your life that's being tested. It's your life that's being trained. Take it as a course, a university course. You are learning. You are being examined. Very important. And then let's now get back to this message. Number three, be faithful in that which belongs to another person. Jesus said the way somebody took time to put 10% aside every month for his future, use that same aggression for your own principles. The way that man took time now to bargain with the master's creditor, debtors, you take time out to perform these three things. One, be faithful in little things. Two, be faithful in money things. And number three, be faithful in the things that belong to somebody else. And that's where we are in this our series. Being faithful in that which belongs to somebody else. Last time we explained, and I should repeat it, the angel of the covenant will teach you. The covenant will teach you. The covenant doesn't get fulfilled until you learn certain principles. God said, Abraham, I will bless you. I will make your name great. But you must teach your children and the household after you the way of the Lord in doing righteousness and justice. That way, I will be able to fulfill that which I promised to you and to your descendants, or concerning your descendants. You have to be able to, you must teach them. They must walk in righteousness and justice. And we explain that for that reason, Jacob, even though he loved the inheritance, even though he was willing to do anything to get that blessing, when he finally got it, God said, now go and learn. Because no matter how big the inheritance is in your life, until you learn certain principles, it will not manifest. Also, Chambers said, were the sufferings of Jacob necessary for that inheritance? He said the inheritance was not tied to suffering, but in the life of Jacob, it was. Isaac did not need to suffer like that. But both of them had to learn righteousness and justice. They had to learn integrity. They had to learn being straightforward. And you look at the life of Jacob in the house of Laban. He had lent it. Laban changed his wages 10 times. God said, you can't reply. Under his watch, I noticed something he said. He said, your female goats did not miscarry. That's what he said. Look at it. You can open that. Genesis chapter 31. It's interesting. That's what he said. I'm not the one that said, you know that? Verse 36. Let's start from 36. Now, this was after Laban had caught up with him, that they took his household idols. Yes, it was Rachel that took, but she hid them, and the father couldn't search her. And, of course, Jacob was not aware of that. So Jacob was provoked. He thought he was being harassed unnecessarily. Then Jacob became angry and contended with Laban. And Jacob said to Laban, what is my transgression? What is my sin that you have hotly pursued me? Though you have felt through all my goods, what have you found of all your household goods? Notice something. Jacob made sure he did not take anything that belonged to Laban. It was Rachel that took the foolish things. They even take something serious. But let's focus on Jacob. Jacob did not take anything that belonged to Laban. Verse 37, he said, if you found anything, set it here before my kinsmen and your kinsmen, that they may decide between us two. Now, where I was going is verse 38. He said, these 20 years I have been with you, your ewes and female goats have not miscarried, nor have I eaten the rams of your flocks. Now, I want to talk about that briefly. He said, all these years, your sheep and goats never miscarried. Excuse me. Why was that an issue? Would that have been his fault? That would not have been his fault. My wife and I had, we had an experience with the airline, one of our flights. Let me not give you details. But my wife, at the point, I talked to the crew. Because we were shouting for them, getting angry. Say, sorry, eh? It's not your people's fault. Could you have prevented this? It was a natural thing that happened that caused a huge delay in the flight. And people were angry. Planning to go somewhere, have things I'm doing, don't put my life at risk. And like, what did these people do? So she just told them, okay, do. Sorry. We appreciate your effort. They were so grateful. And please, I'm saying that, please, know how to handle things like that. The other people too, they have problems. But what is what she said to them, that could you have done anything about it? Madam, thank you. These people don't seem to get it. It's not our fault. It's nobody's fault. If the goat had miscarried, how was that Jacob's fault? How would that have been Jacob's fault? But something struck me. Why did Jacob pick up on it? Because he knew what he did to make sure he did not miscarry. And the only thing humanly possible that I know is to pray. This guy prayed for Laban's flock. Your goats did not miscarry. Your sheep did not miscarry. He said, that which was torn of beasts, I did not bring to you. I bought the loss of it myself. He said, you required of my hand, that was Jacob, Laban's issue, whether stolen by day or by night. Basically, I paid. Let me tell you something about Christianity. It's a crazy thing. Naturally speaking now, it's crazy. Jesus gave some words that partly were responsible for his crucifixion. Yes, they had to crucify him. You can't be talking like that and remain the party. You imagine that you were rigged out. You went for election. You won. Then they rigged you out. And you have evidence. And you tell your people, we are not going to tribunal. Let's be honest. Shouldn't they crucify you from the party? They should. That was what Jesus told them. He said, do not resist the oppressor. And exactly what he was saying. So when they come to you and slap you on the right cheek, he said, turn the left. If they say, go with me 1 mile, which means if you don't bring 5,000 naira, you won't leave this cell, even though you didn't do anything. Just say, give him 10,000. Yeah, that's what he said. What did you do? Nothing. You were walking on the road. The man arrested you for not having an ID card, which is not a criminal, is not a crime in Nigeria. Then he detains you and say, if you don't want to sleep in this cell, you will bring 5,000 naira. Call your people to send you 10. Give it to him. Say, can I go now? We know it's wrong. The Lord called him an oppressor. So don't resist him. If he says, go with me 1 mile, go with him too. What that meant, those days they used to do it. The Roman soldier would give you his kit to carry with him. He's trekking, he's walking. So the load is heavy. So he tells you, go with me 1 mile. Sometimes you say, bros, I thought you were saying, you said you were going to Okunan. Hey, let's go there together though. So I said, I'll carry it for you. Hey, what is it? Let's be honest. You talk like that, they should crucify you. Look, didn't work it. They should crucify you. If you go around telling people they are due for promotion, they don't promote them, they say you should still give the boss a gift. They should crucify you. And that's why he got crucified. He had the power to mobilize against the Romans. He was telling them, don't resist the oppressor. Christianity is like that. When God decides that you should subject yourself to that kind of thing, what he's saying, I wish you could understand. I don't like to say it because people will now start thinking wrongly. If you start doing the right thing for the wrong reason, it's not good. But what really he's saying is that vengeance is mine. Their cup will soon be full, and I will repay them. The one that is locking people in cell and collecting 5,000 before they go home, because they please give him 10,000 each time. I will shorten his life by 40 years. The more you guys argue with him, the longer he lives. I will end his career in that force with so much ignominy, his name, his children will change their name to be able to walk the streets. So don't resist him. Let me take care of him. So the more the Roman soldier slaps you, the closer he is to his judgment. So push it further. You don't need to go and mobilize. Just go in the morning. Just say, okay, are you in a slapping mood? Just give him once I slap once, I shake the head. Turn the other one, slap it. Can I go now before you kill me for today? Because he has to be here to slap tomorrow. So when they slap you like that, they are closer to their judgment. Where I'm going is that, you know, I said it here before. Jacob was not allowed to leave the house of Laban. Not because he was humble, because that was a commandment of God. I'm not going anywhere. You want to resign from Laban? Because they are not angry. Lord, you say he has been maltreating me. Stay there, enjoy it, and be faithful. Now that's what I mean by Christianity. Christianity makes fools of people. Yeah, it turns into a fool. Very smart guy, you become a fool. Please, if you are listening to this, you are an oppressor of somebody who is a Christian. Please stop. Because those who are dangerous people, when they start allowing you to get away, you're not getting away. You use needle to prick the guy because he's not looking. God will send a snake to bite you, a poisonous one. They will amputate your leg. When Christians are leaving you alone, beg them not to leave you alone. When they say, don't worry about it, I will worry about it. Please, I'm so sorry. I won't do it again. He said, don't worry. He said, no, I will worry you. Because that don't worry is what he says. What his God says is a different matter. What his God said is, vengeance is mine. And I will avenge. I will repay. The time is coming. The cup of this boy's iniquity will soon be full. So when you see Stephen, say, Lord, please don't hold this sin against them. You get why? If he didn't pray that prayer, hey, God. See, if you don't pray that prayer, there are prayers that have been prayed. If you read the Psalms and read Jeremiah, there are prayers that have been loaded. They are in the clouds. If this man did not pray that prayer, the repercussions of the fourth generation will be overwhelming. I'm talking about Christianity. It's a very crazy way of life. And if you don't understand it, when you see a Christian, a true one, a practicing one, when he does some things on the surface, you will think he's a fool. Even me preaching. There are things Christians will do, I think they are being foolish. Well, they are right too. But you know, the flesh, sometimes they talk. Flesh, sometimes they provoke. Sometimes the flesh will be like, I can't take this nonsense. And the Lord will say, take it. Say, Lord, it is nonsense. Say, take two. Lord, it's not take three. You will soon get the point that, keep quiet. Because the more you complain, the more he gives you, that the more he increases the number that you must take. This is important because, you know, I'm happy I said this, by the Spirit.
Because we live in the generation where everybody is angry. Everybody is angry. And you may think they have a reason to be angry. No, it's a spirit in the air. It's an angry spirit. They're just angry. They're angry. They're angry. You know, wake up in the morning, they're angry. Like somebody said, they can find fault. So they find a snail going on the way and say, why is he over speeding? Snail, yeah. I saw that today. Those who can find fault, we don't know when they will accuse a snail of over speeding. Saw a joke some time ago. One guy said how to start a conversation in a bus. He went in the bus. The bus was going, Jeje. He said, you see Tinubu? He had not finished Tinubu. Hey, God. He said, you see Tinubu? Hey, what? That is. That's all he had to say. The conversation kept on going. It was loud. People are angry. It's not about the economy. It's the spirit. They're just angry. And it manifests many times in communal clashes. You go on the road, we'll just be fighting. I saw a man one day do something in Lagos. I was in a bus. The way this guy attacked the conductor, I knew he was angry. Something else was happening. The conductor just said, where's your change? And he said, give us your money. That guy gave him money. He's supposed to collect some change. Conductor said, wait. That wait. The man said, okay. As soon as he came down, the way he rushed the conductor. I'm like, no, something is going on. Not just rush. That is with noise, with everything. Said this guy is angry. That's it. Sometimes when you see people react and think, don't worry. It's not, see, I told you a story that something that happened just now that my wife had to go and tell those people, say, please, eh? And now they tried. No. God will bless you. People were angry. Oh, man, got to march forward. And then after a while, one guy said, if you want to come down, please. He said, who will come down from this place? The guy just left the door open. He said, please, he explained. I said, those who really want to come down, you can come down. They were marching and marching. The guy just said, after I explained and explaining, he said, but we can't force you to still travel. If you must come down, please, go ahead and disembark. But let me warn you, this is the last flight to Enugu. And the one for tomorrow is fully booked, so. Just for you to bear in mind why you are getting angry. I had a good laugh. But people were angry. They were just, people are just so angry. They go to the office. That's why I was talking about it. They're angry with the employer. It's not the reason, no. They are angry. That is, if you check it, they are not they were angry before they got a job in that place. Before they resumed duty in federal government, they want parastatal, they were already angry. I'll be honest with you, if you're drunk of that spirit, you will find reasons that you are angry, but that's not the real reason. Of course, if you are married, your wife is the reason, you think. But that's not the real reason. But that's the one person who hold responsibility. Yes. I explain that when I want to eat, why should the food be on this corner of the table? This kind of thing, I don't know. First time I said it, second time, and your neighbor is looking at the position of the food on the table. Nothing wrong with the food, though. You just be angry over it. It's a spirit. That's what I'm talking about. And there are people that have it, too. Please, if you find you have it, go and find a way to eject that spirit from your system. Let me tell you something that happened today. One of my friends, he came to Nigeria, so he stayed in a hotel, all right? He said, this is better than 90% of hotels I've stayed in America. Then he flew a particular airline in Nigeria. He posted to our class group. He said, their planes are better than all the planes I fly in America. I won't mention the name of the airline, all right, so that it won't be like I'm advertising for them. So one guy now said, are you trying to come back to Nigeria? The way you are praising everything. I now answer, this is where I'm going. I said, no, he's not trying to come back to Nigeria. He's an objective fellow. I said, he does not have chronic anger like some people here. I said, he's not chronically angry. I just treated like that. They knew what I was referring to. I said, this chronic anger is commoner in another part of the world. I mentioned one part which I shall not tell you, the one I said. Because some people from that place there, anything negative said about the president, they've shared it. Anything negative said about the nation, they've shared it. They never, ever share anything positive about the president, what he's doing, or what the country is going through. So I say to them that they have a chronic anger syndrome. They don't know what is annoying them. They're from a particular place. I won't tell you where. If you want to know, follow me when I'm going home. Because, you know, the other guy, my friend, he was so impressed, you know, where he stayed. Of course, he explained that, Kai, the services here are phenomenal. That look at the way they treated, you know, the kind of place that you don't even have to open doors. Somebody's at every door opening it for you. And the guy looked like, Now hotel be this? I said, wow. Then he flew one airline on time. He said, their plane is so new, it's so fine. So we're just reporting everything. No one goes, I'm waiting now. I said, he's not chronically angry. When is this good? We say it. Many of us are chronically angry. Please, small aside again. Don't teach your children. When you want to get angry, enter the bathroom. Close the door. Bang your head on this WC. I know what I'm telling you. Bang your head on the wall in this bathroom. Don't involve your kids. Don't involve them. And they say, Daddy, why's your hair swollen? Well, thank God. Don't worry. That is good. Why am I talking about Jacob, all right, and Laban? Please listen to me, saints of God. God is judging how you behave in that place where you think you have all the right to be angry. Jacob's was not about chronic anger. Laban did it to him. We can see it. I mean, think about that. He chased a woman for 7 years. Her father said, you should walk. Okay, that's my way of saying 7 years. They gave you another woman. I don't think there's any scammer in Nigeria that's done anything like that. There may be a busy Nigerian that they can scam people. Laban. And they start telling stories that are not true. Then he said, okay, come and work for 7 years to marry the second one. This guy kept, and now this is the point. God kept on saying, you cannot go. So that's where we are. That is where we are at on our series of. Of course, we are looking at this in the area of intercession. And I'm saying, listen to this. You must have a heartfelt love for where you work. You must have, that's where we are focusing on. Where you school, if you're a student, you must have a heartfelt love for the place. And I'm saying to you, God says that's one major way he's judging what your future will be like. If you are not faithful, he says, in that which belongs to somebody else, I will not give you your own. See, all the excuses they are giving you on why you should not be faithful is how Satan is making sure you never get your own. So, he doesn't pay on time. He's been wiped out as an excuse. He promised to give you 100,000. He gave you 90. He's been removed as an excuse. Why? Because we learned from Jacob in the house of who? Laban. These things were done to Jacob. Yet, when the goats and sheep are pregnant, will be pregnant then, he will kneel down and pray. He will care for them tenderly. He made sure he didn't stress the pregnant animals anyhow. God did not let him repay Laban at any time for anything. And like I said, we are focusing on the area of intercession. So if you're a student, God is judging you by how well you are giving, you are offering heartfelt prayers for your school. God is judging you. You're a pastor in a denomination by how you are offering heartfelt prayers for the bishop, the general overseer, the archbishop, all the people above you, and the denomination. Heartfelt prayer. That is the, give me English word, the heartier the prayer, the more blessed you are. You know, when a matter concerns you, I mean, I know I'll pray about my things. I'll tap my wife, please, we need to pray about something. Sometimes I'm praying alone. I know how it'd be. Do you get my point? Because the closer your prayer for your place of work is to that kind of attitude, the more blessed you are as a person. I'm not focusing on don't steal. We already know we don't steal from there. I'm not focusing on don't divert their business. We already know that one. Now we are talking about the intercessory duty of believers. So that's why I'm emphasizing this. Every day you must. I think I talked about it last time. You must pray for the place where you are a civil servant. You work for Enugu State Government. You should now all of us who are citizens of the state will pray for the governor. But because he's the one that approves the budget or presents the budget and executes the budget that's paying your salary and keeping your office open, then you have another reason to pray for him. Pray for the commissioner. Pray for the MD who you don't like and the one you like and all the ones in between. And it must be heartfelt. It's not the foolishness we execute sometimes. He said we should pray. Didn't say what? Let us pray that fire will burn them. That's not prayer. That's judgment. That's a curse. A prayer is a form of supplication. When he said pray for them that do evil to you. We saw Stephen do it. God, this evil he has done. Don't use it against him.
To the glory of God, I'm not trying to take glory, but I just remember it happened to me. So that's why, and I'm the one teaching. All right, so I'll give it as an example. One day somebody that's done me bad, you know, that is, you know, some people just keep doing bad to you and they not like they're repenting. Either something very terrible had happened to the individual. And I still remember the first thing I did. I still remember the first thing, to the glory of God, not that. I didn't even plan it. The first thing I did was to hit the floor on two knees. Okay, let me tell you part of the reason. I said, God, are you avenging me? Because if it is, slow down now. It's not rich like this. You know that kind of thing. You're like, God, please, calm down, calm down. Okay, I'm not angry again. Okay, I'm not angry again. Did I report him before? Lord, I will not report again. One day I caught a thief who came to steal my things in loot. I caught him, literally catching, you know, like catching, grabbed him by the waist, the belt. I held him like this. When the security man appeared, of course, I quickly raised the alarm, so my neighbors called the security. When the security man arrived, that guy was so angry, he raised his baton. In my mind, if you bring this down, this guy's head. I now stood between him and the thief that I caught and I'm still holding. And raised one hand to quickly block. It was reflex. I wasn't kind. I'm not particularly a kind man. Do you follow my point? It was just reflex that don't whack this guy on the head. That's what I'm referring to. Maybe if you know who your God is, you will pray like this more. If you know how he avenges, go and read the words of Jeremiah. If you see what Jeremiah, and I knew it was a prophetic word, because of the good that Jeremiah had been doing, and the people decide to go behind and accuse him of nonsense and plot evil against him, when Jeremiah turned the prayers around, you'll be afraid. And that's exactly what God does. God doesn't do an eye for an eye. He does a head for an eye. Oh, it doesn't do an eye for an eye. A head for an eye. A household for a person. Wipe out a whole nation for a family. Don't try him. Those who know him well, that's why they get afraid. You have to push them to the wall for them to start saying, okay, God, I leave you to them. Because they know if God responds. See, his promotion the boss didn't give you, Abby. He's out of your promotion. When God wants to promote you, there are different ways. But his choice way is he kills the guy. So sometimes you just look at him. You look at his children. You look at his family. And say, Lord, I don't need the promotion, actually. After all, how much the salary go up? It's not only 15%. You know, I'm only 20 years away from retirement. I won't die. You're making excuses so that God will just leave the matter. If you know him very well. He doesn't do an eye for an eye. He does a head for an eye. So people like that, when people know that kind of thing. When they know it, that's why Jesus will say, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they are doing. Because if they knew, all of them will run away from that place. Crucify the Lord of glory. Are you joking? See, my plan today, of course, we're into it now, is what exactly do you do? Pray for people. Like I was saying, you work for civil service. You pray, all of us pray for the government. But you pray because it's your place of work. We pray extra. You literally bless them. You literally. And listen, it's one reason. I'm not saying it's the only reason. It's one reason that our negligence in doing this, our neglect of this duty, is responsible to a large extent for many of the good things we are hoping to see that haven't happened. It's responsible. Please, let me just drop a small aside also. Don't sneer at things. If they make a little progress, celebrate it. Do you get my point? In the country you are in, if any little progress is made, celebrate it. Talk about it all the time. Rejoice over it until your rejoicing alone will force it to stay. Don't be amongst those who never contribute faith. This pathos process is not improved now. It doesn't stop. If you really have fears that it will not continue, then you have identified a prayer point. Let me say something that was very profound that will shock many people here. Do you know God actually answers prayers? Yeah, because we don't expect Him to. That's why we don't ask for certain things. That's why I said it's very profound. He actually answers prayers. You heard that the contract was awarded for fixing the road that leads to your part of Imo State, as an example. You know, there are two ways you could react. Nigerians react different ways. Right? You could say, you know, when they want to eat money, they start awarding contracts. Would they ever do it? That was how they gave contracts under Buhari. We have not seen it today. That was the one that was supposed to make the road to the Atlantic Ocean. Then there was one they gave under Jonathan. Even you start optimizing all the ones that did not happen. That is the unrighteous way to do things. There's a godly way to do things. You hear the contract sum. So it looks rather large, but again, don't judge what you don't understand. You are not a contractor. You are not a civil engineer. You don't know what it costs. You know those two bridges? You know, one bridge fell on that side, near Artisan side, near NFC. And then Ministry of Works blew up the second one because they had to remove both of them. One fell, so the second one, they had to blow it up. But they sent messages around. One does that. It's not terrorists. You are going to hear a boom. So a few weeks later, around 2 a.m., I heard the boom. That was when, it shook everywhere. You know? When I told my wife how much... Okay, you know, before that, they put a temporary bridge there. You know, we're using that temporary bridge, which they constructed over some weeks. No, months, actually. Do you remember? Yes. It's still there. Yeah. I did a small estimate for my wife on how much that little bridge... Culvert. Okay, bridge, yeah. Will have cost. She said, what? And I benchmarked it against a smaller bridge that most people don't know exists that goes to that layout. It was done by a private company and one of our brothers worked there. And he told me that this was more than 10 years ago. How about my 10? Feel like 15 years ago. That they paid that tiny one, they paid 30 million. 15 years ago, private company, direct labor. I said, this one you are seeing that's carrying all these trucks. I said, if you know at that time what government did to do a temporary bridge for you, if they publish that figure in the papers, you will say it's a lie. Even if nobody stole 5 kobo from it, it will be unbelievable. So I now began to imagine what they now did, how much they spent to now erect the 2 proper ones. I shall not talk, because if I say it now, you will say, you think I'm lying. Not like I know, but just the estimate. That's why I always encourage people, just when you don't know about something, keep quiet. If you go to Kaduna, all their roads are paved. You have never been. You don't even know the direction Abuja is on the map. You are here arguing on what goes on in northern Nigeria. Instead of just getting there and talking, just simply say, Lord. That's a small aside. Back to what I said. Father, I read in the papers this morning that this amount of money was voted for this road. I don't know whether this contract sum is I don't want to comment on that. And I heard that the contractor has been mobilized with 25% of this sum. They start praying. Start praying that it will be executed. Start praying that it will be done properly. Pray. For goodness, it's your part of Imo State. I don't come from that area. I've never been to that point. You are the one that drives there periodically to go and see
your people. So you do the praying. I won't join you. Not because it's bad, but I have to pray for other ones. Let's share this job. You are the one that knows that road. Start praying all kind, all manner of prayers. Just start adding it. Because sometimes people have good intentions. The Bible says they gather, bring it into pockets that are filled with holes. There are times contractors will do work. There's one major rain will fall at a wrong time and produce three times the amount of water that everybody's used to. And we'll wash away the thing while they are watching. And they will say they are not going to finish if they like carry them to prison because they can't. Yes. They're not joking. You go and arrest the man that they gave him. He said, see, he'll show you what he did. And he'll show you the rain that fell. It's called force majeure. What do you call it? Thank you. Yes. Which means it's an act of God. God was angry with your village. He sent rain and washed away your road. And the contractor said, I can't pay for God's actions. That is, what they mean in insurance and stuff like that is that this is something that is beyond anybody's. It's a major issue. So maybe somebody decided, you pay somebody to truck your goods from here to Port Harcourt. The day it starts going on the road, one rain comes, one thunder, anything, collapses three bridges on the road. And you say that you paid him. You say, did you pay me to fly? So he can, he'll be protected because it's absolutely beyond his control. And sometimes things like that happen. They are beyond. You know, be honest, we Christians don't even know we should pray about these things. You think because the government gave a contract to somebody, he must complete it. No matter how honest you are, you can honestly do a good job and it fails. Thank God for Nigeria and the kind of soil we have in most places. You go to some countries, a man is driving JJ on the road. The road collapses. And he disappears. And his car. And I'm talking about the SUV, nobody finds him again. You've not seen it before? Oh, go and Google up sinkholes. A man sat in his house in one part of the U.S. He and the brother were gisting. The house suddenly fell inside. And they never found the brother. No, it happens here today. Come on, it's part of U.S., South America. You see a major express road like this on a express road. You're just driving there. Suddenly, the middle of it will disappear. Will go down by 100 meters. No, I'm not talking 10 meters. You look down, the thing went down by 100 meters. You see, when you read the scriptures, if you don't know these things, when the Bible says that, there's Korah, Datan, Abiram, who are those that the ground swallowed? And they're the ones, eh? Yeah. It happens. It really, really happens. Modern day is still happening. You know what I was telling you about? The guy was talking with his brother, and the floor of their building caved in, and the brother disappeared. They never saw him. He tried to jump into the... Of course, he has to stop. They managed to fish him out. His brother was never found. The spirits ate him. I would say, look, witchcraft did manifest him. Fred Rizzo. Now, I just dropped that for us to know that it's not a joke. When I'm saying the kind of things I say, they tell you they are walking on a road that will benefit you, and you're not praying about it. Julius Berger is not his spiritual. It's a human company. They can finish work and one landslide will bury 10 kilometers of road. Brethren, we have to learn to pray. I'm doing these teachings intercessory because that's what the Spirit wants us to know. You see, when he said men ought always to pray, prayer point is plenty. It's plenty. I'm talking about where you work. You see, I've seen people in power get frustrated. One day, I've read this story in different places. Again, some people won't quote it. I'm not trying to hide it, but people use it for reference, so I will not give this thing. A head of state in Nigeria, military head of state, he called one of his critics. He said, okay, you finished criticizing me, Abi. So there's no need for us to fight. What do you want us to do for this country? You have to help the poor. He said, no, I know. How do we help the poor? He said, let us set up a bank to help the poor. The man said, fine. You are going to be the head of the bank. So he started a bank. Many of us may know this many long ago. To help the poor. After a few years, The bank collapsed. The poor never paid back any loan. They pay back which loan? People move. It's their own share of national cake as far as they're concerned. People thief all kinds of thieving. They stole all kinds of things. I heard this part of the story that the man now went one day, knowing he was in trouble, and went to the head of state. Head of state, come, he came. How far with our this thing? Oh God, I don't know what happened. If it's prison, I will go. So the man said, no, there's no problem. You can go home. But the point was made. Next time you want to criticize us, don't think we are not trying. You don't know what we are fighting against. You don't know. After the Oboy humble, you know they call humble. The man, he was humbled. Because he realized, this man may not be as bad as I thought. If only this small portion they gave to me, look at how the whole thing scattered. What about if they give me the whole country? Please, I'm charging us by the Spirit. Your place of work needs your prayer. It does. I've seen things happen that I just made up my mind. This is a spiritual problem. You set up a beautiful idea. Let's do this. This will help people, will help us to render good services to people who are rendering services to. And somebody says, it will not work. Such things don't work. You're like, why can't it work? 2 + 2 is equal. And this kind of people, they will actually go out of their way to sabotage it just to prove that they were right. And sometimes when things work well, they have to come to work regularly. And they don't want that. If things don't work, things are not working. There's no power not to show up regularly. I was in the office, we were not there. See that? Do I look like I want to waste my time? You now give them systems to make sure power is constant. They say it will not work. I don't have time to be telling you stories. You hear stories, you get angry. You just be angry. There's one institution not too far from here. The person in charge did everything to make sure water was constant. People went at night, bust the pipe, stuffed it with bags, and went to his house. The man woke up one night, somebody put a gun to the head. This is your father's property. A literal gun. Asking whether this place belongs to your father. There are things you wouldn't have believed. Except the person telling you, they are inside the inner caucus of the people it happened to. And they told the man, you think it's your father's property? I won't mention that one. He said, let's do it like this. Okay, he said, walk forward. Do you know how much money we're supposed to make from here? You want to run this life without praying? You're joking. For this, please, I need to drop this again. Stop blaming the government for the trouble in Benue, in Adamawa, not Adamawa, what do they call that place? Zamfara, Plateau State, and stop. Like I said the other time, when they said Federal Ministry of Agriculture and Food Security, call for prayer. And people started laughing at them. I said, may God not twist your mouth. So I will not be able to laugh again. For several days in my house, we took it up as prayer. I said, is it that you don't know this life? That you can try and it will not work. You'll be frustrated. There are physical forces and there are spiritual forces. And there are, listen to me, there are curses released by God against the place you are trying to bless 50 years ago, that you have to use a plea, intercessory plea for mercy to reverse. And you have to say, God, is your anger not yet over? Okay, Lord, please, just arrange, you want to go and preach. You know, we just sit down, we buy paper, abuse it. You know, all we can do is abuse APC and PDP. Okay, we also abuse AFGAB because they have a state. In Anambra there. Just abuse people every day. You don't understand what these people are contending against. They are contending against human forces that like the status quo because if things change, they lose their own power. The devil is actually there engineering people to talk nonsense because it needs the negative confessions to keep on wrecking lives. Frustrated people don't believe the gospel. Yes, Satan knows. Get them angry. Keep them frustrated. You can't preach to them. People are grateful and thankful to God that they believe faster. When you see an angry populace. So when you see things, back to your place of work. What should you pray for? God is helping me. I'm explaining them. One, pray for, because you can maybe in private sector. I've talked about government. Somebody who decided to bring his money, her money, and his time, her time, to set up a company and is paying you salary regularly. Feel sorry for... You know, we talked about it last time. Feel sorry for the individual. Feel sorry. So what do you start praying with? It's like that. Let's read it. What did Paul say to Timothy? First of all, thank you. It's not just for kings. Your boss is the king there. Do you hear what I said? Yes, he's the king in that office. 1 Timothy chapter 2. He said, first of all then, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in authority. That's what I wanted to read. Father God, that this man decided to start this company, I want to say thank you. We have about 60 that work here. These are 60 persons that you have given employment. You can spend an hour in thanksgiving. Mention the name of the company. Please, if you can't do this, I'm saying, I command you by the Spirit of God, resign next week. Next week. Next week. Stop going there. If you are so angry with them, you cannot pray the way I'm saying. Next week, stop. Go and give, please, sir. I have to go. Say, why are you going? I can't tell you. It's my pastor. There are things he said in church. Just say it like that and go. Because if you don't do what I'm saying, you are disobeying God. It's the word of God. It's scripture. And please, don't be judging a man's life. You work in his office. He has two wives. What's your problem? Some people will be fighting their boss. I know his wife. He has a girlfriend. So? Sorry, how is that part of your problems in that office? Do you know how many girlfriends they have in Senate and they are making your laws? Do you follow my point?
Yes.
I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying it's right. But it is not... It's none of your business and it does not stop your thanksgiving for now. We'll get there later because, okay, let's get there. One of the things you will do is pray for everybody needs the light of Christ. Everybody needs the light of salvation. You add it to it. So I'm talking about don't use offenses that don't concern you to be stopping intercession for a place where you work. That's what I'm trying to say. This is my boss for what he's doing to his wife. Thunder fire him. His wife loves him like that. You know, if thunder fires him, she... Living like that. I'm not saying doing bad is good. Are you getting my point? I'm saying, please, sit down with your job. Intercede for the place. Give thanks for that man. We discussed last night. I don't want to go by it again. He's going through a lot of stress to keep the place going. Every day you get there, there's power constant. The day the chief medical director was talking to us and I heard the amount of money that he was spending on diesel. Let me explain what I say. It's a particular generator he said they had. They don't use it because to fuel it, it's like, I think, 3 million naira a day. Yeah, on diesel alone. Yes. Do you get my point? So they must look. I served in Nigeria, my national service. We had a generator like that. It was a drum every 3 hours. A drum. 200 liters every 3 hours. We had one of them like that. We had two. One was 1,000 kV, one was 500. It powered the whole barrack and the neighboring village. But I asked, why didn't I know they put this on the barrack? He said, every time they put it on, 3 hours is a drum. That's 200 liters. This particular one, the man said, was costing how many millions every day. So they had to switch it off. So if you say that, he said, no, we know we can give power, but we can't pay. That if we fire that thing for a whole day, it's something between 2 and 3 million naira that he has to pay every day. So, like, who's going to pay for that? Who's going to pay? Where I'm going is that, so, Phil, look, okay, today, now, those of you who know aviation, you can, basically, this guy's putting like 1.5 hours extra flight time on an A320. Who knows how much for those things use? I don't know for sure. I was talking to my wife. I said, we're complaining. I said, all this noise you are making. You think they like this? I said, this refueling that they told they had to do because they had to divert and do this so that's an extra 1.5 hour flying time. I said a few millions of naira dropped. Yeah. You have a plane that's carrying maybe like 100 of us. It's big. It's heavy. Those two jets, they don't run on cloud. It's not because if they pass through cloud, they're not soaking cloud. They don't mount up with wings like eagles. They fire jet engines. I told my wife, go and find out. These guys have just dropped a few millions just by diverting that plane for an extra 1.5 hour flight. I said, no need to get angry. Feel sorry for them. No need to get angry. I said, you should feel pity. Money just got lost because of a natural event. Okay, if you want to know, the lightning hit our plane directly, head on. Lit up the whole cockpit. The pilot said, Beck, I don't want to holler. Let me go and find out whether we are still safe. Was it his fault that it was raining? When Sean Go decided to... You're getting no show good now. Western Nigeria, God don't talk that. So I'm just joking about that. So, but, okay, somebody said, what is Shango? Okay, that's the supposed, in quote, God of Thunder on the other side. That's why I was just joking about it. So, somebody said, oh, that lit up the whole... I mean, my eyes were closed. My wife was sleeping. So what? I said, ah, I saw it. Now the whole place became bright. It was lightning. And that small thing cost them a few millions of naira. See, if you're any salary, pity those people who do business. Oh. Just pity. No, I'm begging you now. Pity them. Pity. Don't feel like, how can they collect all this amount of money from you? Bro, that money they collect from you is not reaching. They're not taking it home. I'm talking about what you pray about. What's the first thing you do? Prayer with what? Thanksgiving. You thank God that somebody decided to do this. You thank God that as somebody said, hey, some of these people, they stole the money. They could have eaten it, stolen it and chopped it, and that's the end of it. Bought some useless, luxury boats and built one massive mansion on top of one mountain where nobody can get to. The money will still finish. And you still will not be able to do anything about it. But now he now decided to start a manufacturing plant with stolen money. Father God, for giving you that wisdom. Yeah, you give God. First, you don't know whether he stole it or not, but it doesn't concern you. Father God, this is what he did. And now, we're 150 working here. Pray for him. Listen to this. Pray first. You have first thanksgiving. We start with that. Then you pray to him, to God for him, that you have the wisdom to run the place right. Sorry, you pray for his family. Because if his wife locks his, you know what they call lock somebody's shirt throughout the night, he will come next day and just sack people for greeting him wrongly. No, you see, sometimes these prayers, I'm sorry to say, they actually have motives that you are part of the motives. Look at what the Bible says here. What the scripture says. He said, you pray for kings and all who are in authority. Why? No, everybody open it. It's in your Bible. Open. Verse 2, what did he say? He said, you pray for, okay, first of all, then I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in authority. Why? It says, so that we can live peaceful and quiet lives, marked by godliness and dignity. If you, what does that mean? If you don't pray like this, chaos, disturbances, you get what I'm trying to say? And that's part of the problem we have in this, look, all around us. See, when they say you are the light of the world and the salt of the earth, that's what he's talking about. When they talk about salt of the earth, let's remember what is salt of the earth. Salt of the earth means you are the reason why judgment will not come. That's the summary. What does the salt of the earth mean? That you are the reason why judgment will not come. You are the reason why God suspends judgment. Do you know believers in a place can pray so a company will not fold? Yeah. God has control of economic forces. So he does. Believers will kneel down and pray and look. They scan the place. Look at this young or this response. This man has a wife, has three kids. His wife just delivered. She's not earning any money. This is where he works. and you start hearing threats of the ones who close. Not all men have faith. You can stand there, I lift up my head, for my redemption draws near. Is that okay? But that man that his wife just delivered, his head is down. The Bible says that he does not have enough faith not to worry about that kind of meat. Basically, he doesn't have the kind of faith necessary to survive that. You can identify it. Not only him, there are many people like that. Do you know, believers can join hands and pray, and the company will be sustained. Suddenly, doors for sales will open. Somebody will recognize and give the boss a contract. He has to employ more people now than he had before. Production is going on. And you don't have to go and meet him, sir. We are the ones praying for the... You can say something like, sir, we are praying for you. That one is good. But like trying to claim recognition for your intercessory prowess. No, it's not part of it. You should be able to take joy in the fact that things are working well. Do you get my point? And you know that indeed God, maybe you and your friend pray. Now, please go and listen to our series on aids to prayer and all of that. Prayer of agreement, that's when it comes in. You alone, your intercession is very good. But you are more than one in that place. It's better. It's better. You pray a prayer of agreement. Your boss comes to work and says that the problem we're having, there's this particular raw material we need. We have not been able to source. I see this all the time. People go and sit down. This is a problem with lack of foresight. They should have signed some contracts which will have committed the supplier for 8 years. Now, I know that will have cost a bit more, but it's possible to go to China. You've never been to China. You have never been to China. You're telling us what is possible if we network with the Chinese. I think this company was not going anywhere. This is our gas F. Be like, best way to get sense. Now, you know, that's a commoner way people respond to such things. Or you can go inside and say, Lord, we manufactured this. This raw material is critical. Now, you are a salaried worker. In fact, you only work, you drive a vehicle and you keep the store. You are not a manager. You are not an engineer. You are not a production manager. But at least you can pray. And listen to me, one of the reasons why God places us in places. Is that English good? Is it good? Why God places us in places. They can't speak English in heaven. Because the confusion that English causes, I don't think it will be allowed in heaven. Same spelling, same pronunciation. Two totally different meaning, two different parts of speech and all of that. You guys should make up your mind. Anyway, one of the reasons why God... I'm going to look at another word. Yes, positions us and locates us or deploys us into different places. Three good words. That's good. All right? It's for things like this. There are companies that fold up and God says to his angels, because my children were not responsible. And the Lord says, my children were not responsible. There was something he said to them when they were going to Babylon. What did he say you should do? Pray for the city where I'm sending you into as exiles. What did he say you should do? Seek the welfare of that place. Entreat the Lord for her sake. That's where I'm going. That is, work hard as you can to make sure things work well there. Then beyond that, what do? You get on your knees and entreat the Lord for the sake of that nation. What am I saying? You're working in a company. The commandment of the Lord is pray. Entreat the Lord for the sake of that establishment. Remember, what are the three keys to success for Christians or to the release of the secure destiny or the destiny in God? Let's go by it again. Number one, faithful in little. Two, faithfulness in money. Three, faithfulness in that which belongs to someone else. That's what I'm talking about. Hey, let's talk about this briefly. You're a driver, commercial driver. You sign a deal. You deliver this sum of money and you handle this car like this. Now, let me say this to you. Whether the car is supposed to be yours or not after a period of 5 years, you must treat that car like it's the last thing your father gave to you before he died. Treat it like it's your father's inheritance. Service it, not like 2 years, it will come up on my hand. Have you seen this when you are driving on the road? Somebody drives past and you just know that car is not his own. You see, As soon as it goes past, you look at the plate, license plate, just look at it. And you see it, Enugu, EN, this, government car, you just know it's not his own. FG, this and this, and this, it belongs to the federal government. Sometimes even a company, you just see it as NG, say, ha, 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 ha. You know, there's a way we drive our own cars, because we are the ones that change the shock absorber. Yeah. You are going at high speed, you see a bump, you go so stop, you press that brake, the car will slow down, you implore all the snail spirit around you to move gently over the speed bump and glide over on the other side while you are singing praises. Because if you bust those shock absorbers, do you get my point? What am I saying? God said, treat that vehicle that belongs to your company, that belongs to your, what do you call the man that gave the car to you? The owner, yes, good. That's a good enough one. That belongs to the owner, treat it just like that. Wash it, shine in the vacuum it. People should think it's yours. Add spoilers here and there to make the car look nice. Use your money to perfume the interior. That when somebody finds out that you are just a driver, they're like, what? That is what, I'm telling you, that's what God commands. When your car travels, you pray for it. And see, I don't want to start giving testimonies. I've seen God do marvelous things with a motor car. I told you once, my wife's driver ran my car into a wall, brought down the wall. When my wife told me, I put my head against the wall. I said, Father God, please. She had not seen the car, they just called her. I said, Lord, please, don't let anything happen to this car. You know, some people say that waiting don't happen, don't happen. Me, not this guy, not this guy. The Lord taught me differently. It happened maybe 20 minutes before. I said, no, God, you go. It's called retrocausality in advanced physics. Go and read about it. Write it down. Retrocausality. I put my head against the wall and I said, Father, I thought of that. I said, Lord, please don't let anything happen to this, my car. A car that has already hit the wall. It has already brought down the fence. I prayed the prayer. A few minutes later, my phone rang. My wife has gotten to the place. Her exact words. My husband, you wouldn't believe this is a car. There's not one scratch on it. I said, God answers prayers. You can start doing the physics that when it impacted, the wall fell forward. That was your own problem. That wall probably fell towards the car, broke the windscreen first. But when I prayed, God went back, rewound down the time, and pushed the wall on the other side. Not once, not a pin scratch. But the fence went up. And nobody, see, me and prayer, I can pray. See, I can pray for rain that has already fallen, not to fall. I'm telling you. Didn't God rewind time? Why can't you rewind rain? You are getting to the point I'm making here. Brethren, see, where we work, I'm telling you, this is what God expects. We're talking about, pray for the owner of the business, federal government, state government, private enterprise, you get my point? It's a big company. Please listen to me. God is waiting for the prayer. You pray and say, Lord, they said this raw material is scarce. We need it for production. You call your friend, let us pray. Our company needs it. We need to have like 20 tons of this before weekend. Someone will say to you, they have to import this from Europe. Say, let us pray. That's when your boss will get a phone call. You're praying on Tuesday. You say, we need it before weekend because your other ones will expire and the loss will be huge. Please, don't feel happy. Don't be complacent when your company is losing money. Don't do like it doesn't concern me. I gave an example last time that my wife does one funny thing. This is not her business. She's passing by. And she sees somebody's business, something is going bad. She will stop. It's not even last time I told the story of people who are stealing, and she will go inside, report to the owner. There are times it's not even at the owner. It's more like, oh God, this thing you are doing, if you keep it here, this will. Why? You know what used to pain her is that I know what is going to be lost. You walk in a place, you must have that attitude. If they tell you that if we don't get this, other ones we bought will expire. Feel bad, like, hey. No, we can't lose. That's 100 million. We can't lose it. Now, out of that 100 million, the one that's your own, It's not even up to 1 million. What is 1 million? We want that 1 million. The one that is your, it's not even up to 50,000. I mean, what is it? However, you are such a responsible person. It gives you literal sleepless nights. That's when your boss suddenly get a phone call. And somebody will say that, I heard you guys looking for this. We have a load we bought like 3 months ago. We bought excess. We don't need it. We just stored it here. How much do you guys give us for it? Please, it's not coincidence. It's answer to prayer. What did I say? It's answer to prayer. It's not coincidence. And I'm saying by the Spirit of God, if we do more of this, you know, we'll have more tests. You know, why we don't have many testimonies? All our testimony is us, you know, us. Praise God. This morning I wanted to eat. I prayed. I had only bread. Then one fowl just came and laid egg in front of my house. Amen. That's the kind of testimony we like. If you get into this act of intercession, this job of, you know, this intercessory duty we're talking about, you will have more testimonies. You will go to church and tell your pastor, do you know, my company was about to shut this side of production and I realized that 50 people were going to lose their jobs. My friends and I gathered to pray. In the staff fellowship, we decided we were going to pray about it. Sir, do you know this morning, they just advertised for 50 more people that they expanded the production. Why? Because a new door of supply just opened for us. We now have a contract for the next 2 years. Do you follow my point? And what I am preaching, brethren, God says, that is what I am waiting for. I don't want complainers. I don't want grumblers. I don't want pointing of fingers. That's one thing I don't want. People who stand back and point fingers and see everything that is wrong. Have you seen such before? I have a friend like that. He knows everything that is wrong about anything. He does. At least he thinks. And don't argue with him. He knows everything. At least he thinks so. He knows everything wrong with Nigeria. From the beginning to the end. He knows everything wrong with any institution around. Then I look back one day. I've known this guy for a very long time. He has always been a fault finder. You know what they call fault finders? There are people that know everything that is wrong with everything. And the Lord is tired of fault finders. I'm giving you the word of the Spirit of God. He's looking for what? Intercessors. You see, I said something to us earlier. Before God can bless, the covenant must teach. You get my point? The angel of the covenant must instruct you in what is right to do. And you must do that which is right before the blessing commanded can come. You have the inheritance, we're not doubting it. But it cannot manifest as yours until you take the lessons of the angel of the covenant. The covenant must change the way you behave. I've said this before. Let me say it so we can round off, you know, and pray a bit. There are one major problem, at least let me talk about Nigeria. I'm not in Ghana. If you're in Ghana, you are listening to us. I'm sure it applies to your country too. Let me just talk about Nigeria. One major problem the country has suffered is rejection. And please let me give instructions to those who listen to me. See, let me not give myself title that God didn't give me. You understand? But I know that the Lord has given me a job. And I'm like, my name is Gideon, yes. Now, I have different names for different assignments. Amos, remember the Amos name? This is Gideon. Now, Gideon must have 300 people with him that God will use to deliver Israel. So for today, my name is Gideon. And those who are with me, I'm giving them the instructions of God that he wants to use them in the thing that he wants to use them for. I hope you're getting my point. If you are part of my Gideon's 300 people, who are Banky's Gideon's 300, they are those who listen to what I say. They walk by it. It's scripture. I'm talking about scripture now, all right? They are obeying, and I'm giving you what God said you must do. You are commanded not to reject your nation. You must love your nation. You must make sacrifices for it. I need people like you to take care of the whole land. I know what I'm saying. You will make sacrifices, though. Hey, you will make sacrifices, though. You know, I told you guys that there are people who look at my wife and I think that these guys are not serious. And the first, that is the first sorry. This is, I understand. Before I want to argue, no. We are not in the same company. We are not delivering the same people. We don't have the same assignment. You don't get my point. You don't. You don't get my... You see, my children and I, we reason differently from other people. I think they've bought my spirit. There are things that don't cross their mind to discuss with me. None of my children ever broached the subject one day of studying abroad. Not one. It doesn't even cross their mind. You're doing jump, I'm kicking your butt into UNN. I'm telling you the truth. I told you when my wife was pregnant, then, her mother of blessed memory gave her a free ticket. Take, come, go and visit your sister and deliver abroad. She asked only one question. How long will I stay after I born again? I said, a few months. So this black pastor will not... Say, mommy, leave that side. There are those who have to look for money. I didn't have to. It was like, come now. Come on. Once I did go and time to deliver. She went back to that building, sat down there, went to my friend's clinic, delivered the Pekin. They gave him Federal Government of Nigeria automatic stamp visa. You're a Nigerian by birth. And my wife, I said, no. So yeah, you have to understand, we lead people that we can't set a different example for. That's it. I'm not saying it's evil. It's just that people are following you. Every step you take makes a statement. You can feel sorry for my children all you want. Remain one, I may go to university. Four of them have entered, one has finished. You are going, I'm watching you like this. I mean, which is a good life anyway. Ashiwaju is paying. I mean, you know when Bashiwaju is paid? You know what I mean? They just say, come. At the end of the day, you come and pay school fees at the end of the year. My friend and I calculated a few days ago. So that's like $70. I said, yeah, my guy, that's it, $70. With this small calculation, it's like, that's $70. I said, yeah, $70. I like it like that. It's not because of the money. It's because I want it that when you're listening to me, you're at ease. In trying to be like Pastor Banky, you're not under pressure. It matters to me. It does. That's what they call Gideon. That's what, you know, name. There's a time I'm Amos. Amos spirit may come next to you. But today is what? Gideon. And I'm giving the Gideonites a charge. You can't reject your land. Do you get my point? When you're like that, you can, from Enugu, drive out bandits from Zamfara. And let me just, please, I've been trying to teach this to Christians because there are a lot of Christians. Again, please, no criticism intended. Many of us join early morning online prayers, all right? So, and I've noticed many of the pastors that do it, they have grace for, the loud volume. They have grace for persistent, I thank God for their lives. Uh-huh. Now, what I just don't like is that many of us start learning it. And I've come to tell you, it's not necessary. You don't have the grace. Then, okay, I know you don't have that grace. Don't pretend. Do you have it? You don't. Did I not tell you something? I did. He doesn't have it. You don't need to learn it. Is it bad? No. It's just grace you don't have. And the same God is rich unto all that call upon him. Do you get my point? It's the same God. He's rich to all of them. So, if you like, scream. If you like, talk quietly. God will answer you. Now, I want to ask you a question. So, which grace do you prefer? Okay, the loud one. It's all right, fine. Eh? I'm just teasing him. You understand? So, what I'm trying to say, because I keep on giving this encouragement, because some people think that if you want to drive bandits out of Zamfara, we are going to buy a boot. We are going to hike the top of the mountain. No. You can just kneel in your room. That's where I'm going. And say, Lord, this indignation has taken a long time. Please stop. It's not more than that. And God will say, okay, it should stop. I tell you the truth. Eh? Sometimes when you shout too much, you don't have confidence in God. You have confidence in your ability. Your prayer is more, you have more confidence in your prayer than in the Lord himself. Please, what am I saying? You can preserve your company. You can help your school year student. And you don't even raise your voice. Some of you just join hands. Guys, the vice chancellor heard I said this, this, and this. Let us pray. And you just join hands. But because your heart is there, what makes your prayer effective is how heartfelt it is. Amplify said in that James chapter 5, he said, the effectual, heartfelt, continued prayer of the righteous man avails much. Do you follow my point? There are those who are in university and say, how many of all folks are in hostel? We have 5. In University of Toronto, it's only 1.5 persons per room. You've forgotten that in University of Ajegunle, there's no university. If you get my friend, there's no, there are places that there's no university. You didn't go to school. You're an area boy. God has fried your brain with banana. You know what they call banana? Okay, let's leave it. Yeah, God has allowed you to smoke until your whole cerebral cortex is full of plaques. You can't think straight. But he gave you a university, allow you to go to school. Just say, okay, stay 5 in a room so you can make friends for the future. It's perspective. And you're here sitting there telling me about the University of Toronto. Go there first. One of my friends, he took a holiday somewhere, I think around that area. So he sent us a message. He said, guys, I've not been commenting on this class. So he said, because I've inhaled so much Igbo that if I talk... No, I have some guys who are comedians. He said, the amount of Indian hemp he has inhaled just walking down the street, that he has to keep quiet, otherwise he's going to start talking nonsense. I mean, 2 in a room, and you're smoking. God would... Look, when I was in university, I had the room where officially, where maybe 4 or so, or 5, and then unofficially, would have been like 10. Total, like 10 of us. Except that those brethren, they could pray. Prayer was our master key. They could pray. Look, you know, thank God, my wife would say, ladies, you're not like that. Our own, if you buy slippers, it's not your own. Just that you bought slippers. You just buy slippers. Now, the one where you see, you go, where? And who buy them, now the blessed one, is not the one that owns it. You get what I'm saying? And we live like that. And I came out of that place a preacher. I'm telling you the truth. Yes. I wouldn't sacrifice that room. Now, for those who are in Union, that was a hall 3. D block. I won't sacrifice that experience now for living in a single room in one place in North America. No, I won't. That was a room I was ill at the time. My mother said, I think maybe you should go back to school. Not because she hated me. It's my mother. She said that when you get back there, I think you'll be fine. She understood the atmosphere in which I lived. She said it. By the time you get amongst those your friends, you'll be fine. I mean, these guys live, you know, like they lived by faith and quarreled by faith. That's where I'm going. Argued with scripture. I mean, argument unto boxing, you know, almost. And that was not what Paul meant. No, the first time Peter said it, when he was saying, no, the Greek word, these are students, university students. I don't care whether we're 15 in that room. I will go back there and live there. Do you get the point I'm making? I'm ending with that. Please, let's not fall into the sin of rejection. Never, never, never. God depends on us to sustain many things in this our nation. You may be Jacob. Laban owns the company, but God said, you sustain it for 20 years. Laban owns the company. See, you have to understand, I will pay you myself later. That's what God, let's not talk about how God paid Jacob now. But the point is, I said, walk there. The man said the business. I mean, why don't you just, talking to one of our brothers yesterday, I said, no, my own definition of success, I was disagreeing with somebody, one minister. I said, no, what I don't like about what he's saying is that his definition of success does not reflect in my understanding what the scripture says. That you can't define success by how much you have personally acquired materially. That you need to understand that it is success for you to see, for your boss to see somewhere that my company will have collapsed except for that guy. And he says it and he means it. Because Laban said it, I've divined. That's why I was begging Jacob not to go. I've divined that God blessed me because of you. Who sustained Egypt? Answer me. Joseph. I'm going to check it. Joseph did not make himself rich. The Bible says he made Pharaoh rich. It was Pharaoh that he was making rich, not himself. He was used to it. He was in prison. What was there to gain? He was in Potiphar's house. He was a slave. When he mounted his throne, he was just so used to the fact that he's somebody's slave. He's God's slave, God's servant, God's assignment man in different fields. That's what they call success. To be able to recognize that and be satisfied in it is success. Hope you're getting my point. Let's bow down our heads and pray. Let's bow down. We need to pray. Just take a few minutes. Like I say all the time, we come here to learn. We come to learn. Then we'll go home to practice. But let's have some practice here. Let's give the Lord thanks. Now, first, right away, start giving thanks for your boss. Mention his name. You're working for the federal government, give thanks for the head of state. For the state government, give thanks. Give thanks. For the federal government, give thanks for the minister. There's a minister over there, your parastatal. I want you to mention their names. You don't know the name of the minister. Go and find out after now. Especially if you're in the private sector, give thanks for that man, that woman, or those people that put their resources, their energy, put things together to start that company. Say, Lord, I thank you for them. As you are doing that, repent of the negligence. All of us, you repent. Most people are very negligent in this area, though. Most people are. We pray for our churches sometimes. After everything, we pray for our country once in a while. But to say, this is where I walk. I am God's intercessor in the midst of these people. Few people remember to do that. Few people know. Few people know to do it. Few know. For that sin of ignorance and the sin of negligence, we should repent. As we are giving thanks for these people, let's quickly put that one in. As we are giving thanks, let's put that one in. Say, Father God, have mercy on me. Then ask the Lord. I think we should say, ask the Lord to give you the spirit of the intercessor in this area. Because it's not by power. Even this is what I say, it's not by power. God has to help us. God has to sustain us. Say, Lord, give me that spirit of the intercessor in this area so that I will remember to pray for my office. So I will remember to pray for my boss. So I will remember to pray for my managers, for my establishment, for our production. Say, Lord, give me that spirit of the intercessor. Say, Lord, I dedicate my mouth. I will not be a grumbler. I will not be a whiner. I dedicate my mouth, Lord. I will not be a grumbler anymore. I will not be a fault finder. One who points fingers. Say, Lord, let every fault I find be a point for prayer. A point for prayer. A point of prayer. Think something to pray about. Before I grumbled. Before I complained. But Lord, now let me pray. When my management makes a wrong decision in my opinion, Lord, help me to pray. Say, Lord, let me not reject that office. Let me not reject that firm. Let me not reject that establishment. Lord, help me to pray. It's important. It's very important, this is what we are saying. We are giving ourselves to the Lord. The Lord, henceforth, this is what I will be doing. I know my guys may have done things that are not right, but that will not. God forbid I should sin against him in not praying for my office. God forbid I should sin against him in not praying for my establishment, for the ministry, the parastatal of government where I'm working. God forbid that I should sin against him in not praying. Now I'm going to leave everyone for a few minutes. Just pray all kinds of prayers for your office. There's something you've been, I know some, everybody here, I mean, you know something you've been angry about. Could be power issue. Could be the way some people are embezzling money. Yeah, it matters. Your prayer will have them exposed, will have them stopped. So pray, say, Father God, this, this, and that, I need this to stop. I'm asking of you as a light, as a salt that you place in that place. This is my request. Pray against waste. Sometimes what you need is manpower. Ask God to send manpower. He said, pray the Lord of the harvest that he will send laborers into his harvest field. So we can pray that God will send preachers. In the same way we can pray, Father God, send help. Send help. Send skilled people. Say, Lord, we need them in my office. This is the kind of laborers we need. Remember, this is faithfulness we are demonstrating. This is faithfulness. Faithfulness in that which belongs to somebody else. Oh, yes, we can pray for our own business, Naba. When is your business, you will pray. God say, pray when it is not even your own. And that's what I'm judging you concerning. Oh, God, I pray we understand this. God says, take it like it is yours. You're in that university, you're a student. You are my person there. Bring my presence therein. We can complain, we can criticize, we can analyze, we can fault find. But more importantly, we should pray. We should repent of those other things. We're not saying we won't test all spirits. We're not saying we'll not make observations. But what do those things cause us to do? Those things make us pray. What is prayer? Making petitions before the Lord. Amos saw calamity coming. He said, Lord, stop. Please stop. Please stop. And God said, all right, this will not be. He said, this I will let the children of Israel ask me to do for them. I will increase their men like a flock. Say, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. What is salt? The reason why judgment will not come. You are the salt in that office. Ask the Lord to bless it. Ask wisdom for your boss. Ask God to send help. Ask the Lord to open markets for you people. Yes, that's what we are saying. Let's take responsibility. So Lord, as long as I am there, I will be a good shepherd. I will be a good shepherd. Good shepherd. As long as I am there, I will be a good shepherd. One moment, pray all kinds of prayer for your office. Pray for the home of the entrepreneur that started that business. Pray for his home. Pray for his home. Pray that he will see the light of Christ. God has been showing, yes, the evil he's been doing is to make you pray for him. If you know the reason why some people do evil, you start feeling sorry for them that they did not do enough for the kind of influence they are under. So ask the Lord to show them mercy. Ask the Lord to show him mercy. Say, Father God, I pray for him, I pray for her. Have mercy. Let light come. Let light come. Lord, that the power of darkness that has blinded his eyes be removed in the name of Jesus Christ. For the risk that he has taken, that she has taken, Lord, recompense him, Lord, with your favor. Because we have to go home, please just round off the prayer with thanksgiving. Say, Father, we thank you. Say, Lord, we thank you. Father, we thank you. Just give the Lord thanks. Especially since he has taught you, he has corrected you. Because he has taught you and he has corrected you. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed. Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil. Because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of the demonstration of the Spirit and of the power of God. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Blessed to people beside you.